national blessings. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Verses 6 through 9 again. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He arranged or assigned the sea to its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. I heard someone say one time, one of the problems we have in the American church is that Christians no longer fear the Lord. I think that's probably true, at least in general. There are exceptions, and I thank God for it. But fear is not so much cowering. Fear is a respect for authority. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then I also like another phrase. Look there at verse 8 again. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. Someone wrote a little chorus, "Our God is an awesome God." That word awesome, I'm afraid we have devalued it to the point that, you know, God equates to a good hot dog. The hot dog is awesome. But this says, our God is an awesome God. How long has it been since you have just contemplated God? Who he is, what he has done, his great power, his amazing grace, and his abounding love. Is there any time through the week that we just pause and consider the work of his hands, his work in redemption, and we are moved in our spirit to say, what an awesome God he is? That's what the psalmist is doing here. He's talking about how awesome God is. Rather than going through 8 billion years, I think it's 8 now. When I was young, they only challenged us to believe that the world was 1 billion years old. But now it's 8 billion years old. I don't think I've lived 7 billion years, but anyway, they've figured out somehow that it's older than what it really appears to be. Now, if you want to believe that, I think that's all very well and good. If you want to believe that, basically, and I want you to understand where evolution takes you. If you believe evolution, you have no soul. Evolution cannot produce an eternity. Evolution cannot change your heart. I read an article this past week that said that in our society, there is an effort now to create a new faith with science at the middle. When they come out and tell you you've got cancer and there's nothing they can do, I want you to go to science for your comfort. When your child has gone off the deep end, I want you to pray to science that it will deliver that child somewhere or somehow and turn him around. When you are in the depths of despair, maybe what you need to do is pick up an old science text from high school and read it. And maybe you will find grace for your spirit. No. when you are going through the devastating tragedies of life, you will find no comfort in science. But Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, we have a God of all comfort. We have a God who takes notice of us. We have a God who cares for us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever of these dirty, vile, hopeless sinners would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where hope comes from. That's where faith comes from. That's where comfort comes from. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The KJV says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, the second part of that verse, as you may well imagine, is a reference to Israel. But the verse in and of itself is of application to us all. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think it is safe to conclude that our current immigration problems, that America is still the choice of people everywhere who seek unlimited opportunities and personal freedoms. Do you believe that? Do you love your country? Do you believe that this is a great and blessed nation of God? Or are you concerned that you haven't got what you exactly wanted this past week? See, our God in America has become materialism. We worship things. Malcolm Forbes said, he who dies with the most toys wins. Well, Mr. Forbes, doesn't matter how many toys you got, you're still dead. And the only thing that is going to give you hope in death is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mentioned this in my Sunday school class this morning. I've got a dear friend. He was a member of my church in Baltimore years and years ago. Matthew DiMarino wrote me the other day through Messenger, and he explained to me how he had made friendships with people that he worked with, and they're good people, and they're not Christians, but he said, do you really believe that these good people will go to hell without Jesus Christ? Yes. If I'm to give a biblical answer, yes. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we're not talking about a church or a religion. We're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. The question is, do we really believe it? Do we really believe what it says about God, that our God really is truly an awesome God? The contemplations of the psalmist's heart was, God spoke and everything happened in a moment. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. That was not the beginning of God. That was the beginning of everything we know. Because God always was. He predated in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And about three or four verses later, he says this, let there be light, and poof, there was light. It's called divine fiat. He spoke it into existence. But on the sixth day, and by the way, I believe that it was six literal days. And again, you got to go with the text. And there's a little word there, yom, in the Hebrew. It means day. And without a qualifier, it can mean an extended period of time. But when you put a qualifier with it, it means a 24-hour period of time. And the evening and the morning were the first 24-hour period. And a couple of verses down, he says, let there be light. Let there be dry land. Let the animals come to be. But on that sixth day, he took some time, fashioned man from the dust of the ground, and invested in mankind his own nature. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our God is an awesome God. With all the warts and wrinkles, there is not a country that I know of that is more blessed and a better place to live than the good old USA. This is not an accident. We have been richly blessed by God. Now, I caution us to understand that God does not love us more than any other people or nation. See, I think sometimes we can get a little arrogant about that whole thing. And instead of being arrogant, the way God has blessed us, it ought to make us humble. Why would God ever choose to bless us? Rather than read revisionist history, let's go to one who was there at the beginning of our nation. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Patrick Henry? He's that guy who said, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry? Remember him? He was there. Noah Webster. The religion which has introduced civil liberty to the religion of is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. If we live today in many of the Muslim countries around the world, and you shoplifted, they'd call you lefty for the rest of your life. Do you understand that? You talk about human rights, civil liberties. That really began in the Word of God. You talk about women's rights. Do you understand that in the context, in the social context in which the Bible was written, women were property? And it was revolutionary when Paul instructed the church at Ephesus that men were to love their wives as Christ loved the church. It is the Bible that first gave women rights. Not the Quran, not the Proverbs of Buddha, not any other religious writing, but the Word of God. There is no country in the whole world in which the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than America. This was written about 170 years ago. I don't know that he would say the same thing today. And there can be no greater proof of its utility and of its conformity to human nature than that its influence is most powerfully felt over the most enlightened and free nation of the earth. Alex de Tocqueville, in his book, Democracy in America. Now, here's the astounding thing about what de Tocqueville said. He's a Frenchman. Frenchmen have nothing good to say about anything. But he had a lot good to say about America. Of course, Tocqueville's comments are over 150 years old. Much has changed in those years, and I'm not sure he would recognize the America of today as the one he wrote of a century and a half ago. Secularists have done all they can to push their definition of the separation of church and state. Psalm chapter 33, 12. Here it is again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Look carefully at the phrase, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want to show you something here. The word for God is Elohim. It is used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It is a general term meaning the God of the nations. He is not limited by a tribe or ethnic heritage. He is God over all. There is a fella who was a crony of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. His name was Rabshakeh. He led a force that surrounded Jerusalem and threatened them and said, you better surrender. Everybody else is dependent upon their God, but your God lives in a box there in your temple, and he's not going to be able to withstand us. And guess what? They had to withdraw Rabshakeh because Ben-Hadad himself was under attack. See, they had a different context. They had a different idea about who God was. The God who lives in the box. They were talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. That's what they were talking. He lives in a box. No, he doesn't live in a box. He made that his throne for a while here upon this earth. But you can't contain God. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. The only place God is not is where he withdraws his spirit, in a place called hell. The word for Lord, however, is Yahweh, a specific term meaning God of the covenant. It is more personal. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It demands a personal relationship. We are blessed because we can have a personal, intimate relationship with God. So here's what it's saying. It is not saying a general statement, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but blessed are the people who have a relationship with this God who has made a covenant with them. It's a personal thing. I hear people say, I believe in God. Well, so's the devil, by the way. And he's had some encounters with him. And has never come away feeling good about himself. It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough to know about God. We need to know God, who he is. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And he also said, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a blessing. Romans chapter 5, verse 18, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me today that America is blessed? You want to go somewhere else? Huh? You want to try it out in Saudi Arabia? Huh? How about Somalia? That'd be a great place to vacation, don't you think? Run by drug lords, don't you think that would be wonderful? You know this gentleman who's been here the last couple of weeks, kind of a big fella, black gentleman, he's from Belize. We've been blessed by his presence. He came out to our Thursday night Bible study a couple of nights. We've gotten to know him. Do you know when he talks about his country, the things he talks about? He talks about fear. He talks about the control of the drug lords. He talks about the violence. And maybe he's here to try eventually to get his family here. But this man is a born-again believer, and he is torn between getting his family here to America and staying in Belize and taking care of his own people. I believe that young man's a Christian. I believe he knows who Jesus Christ is. He's back in Belize this week, going to spend a week with his wife, going to be back in a couple weeks. And if he is here in the States, I guarantee you he will be here because you've impressed him. Woo! I'm going to do that every time I see a nod. Woo! I'm going to get something out of you, one way or another. Maybe if I just started cussing. I got 4 points. I'm going to go through the points. We are blessed as a people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 8, 4 through 6. When I consider your heaven, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, Paul refers to this verse and refers to the son of man, and this being a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in its initial authorship, it has to do with humankind. What is man? The psalmist ponders this. What is man that a God who can speak everything into existence would even take his time with us? Of course, we know time doesn't mean anything to God, but nonetheless, look what he says. You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. He's talking about mankind there. The crown of glory and honor has to do with the fact that he has invested in you and I his image. We are made in the image of God. Little dogs aren't made in the image of God. I like little dogs. I got a little dog. He's got a lot of psychological problems. But I really like him. And he looks at me and he's saying in his mind, he's got a lot of psychological problems. I have no doubt about that. But God didn't invest his image in little dogs or even elephants. But he did in us. And the Son of Man that you have visited him. In the scope of all creation, God chose to pay special attention to mankind. In verse 5, the Hebrew word for angel is a form of the word Elohim. Now it is true that some of the Old Testament commentators, some of the Old Testament interpreters, would interpret Elohim in certain passages as being angels for this reason. When they came to this passage and they said, you have made man a little lower than Elohim. They couldn't fathom that. They couldn't buy into it because their concept of God, of Yahweh, was so immense that they said, oh, no, he must be talking about angels. And so then arbitrarily, and it is arbitrary, they interpreted it as angels. But if you read the literal context of the Hebrew, this is what it says. He has made man just a little lower than himself. God never invested his image upon an angel. They are inferior to man. My pet peeve, and I've talked about it before, is people, when they lose a loved one, even a born-again loved one, they'll say, well, God's got a new angel tonight. Do you want your loved one to have a demotion? Because they're not above us, they're below us. It's a demotion. The problem is you've watched too much of this touched by an angel. And you think that makes them look like Donna Romy or Della Reese or something like that. I got a news for you. That's not what an angel. Do you know every time an angel appears, I think it's every time, but every time an angel appears to talk to someone, like Gabriel when he spoke to Mary, do you know the first thing he says? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got to tell you, if somebody like Roma Downey walked up to me, I wouldn't be afraid of her. But I got a feeling if I ever really saw a real angel in its glory, I think it might be good if he would say to me, hey, hang on, Walls, don't be afraid. Angels are powerful, there's no doubt about it. But he has made man a little lower. Angels are inferior in the order of God's creation. The Father has blessed us with his provision. Let's talk about some blessings. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and Now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think it is terrible. I will be honest and tell you this. I think it is terrible that there is even one child in America that goes to bed hungry tonight. But it's an astounding thing to me. It's an astounding thing to me that I read a report about hunger in New Jersey, and it says 12% of all children in New Jersey go to bed at night not sure they will get something to eat the next day. I think that's deplorable. I think that's terrible. Especially when we think of nothing to go out and spend $1,000 on a sporting event. Do you think maybe there's something wrong with our priorities? I do. I absolutely do. I've been young. But I'll tell you this. I look around this group today and I don't see anybody looks like they've missed many meals this week. Looks to me like God has provided pretty well. Philippians 4:19, but my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. You know what I think that means? I think that means he'll supply all your physical need, because, by the way, if you look at the context here, it's talking about giving. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he said, I want to thank you for the gift that you sent me. Apparently, they were supporting him as a missionary. I want to thank you for the gift that you sent me. Over and over again, you've done this, he says. And I want to thank you. Not that I need a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. Why? Because my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Your financial needs, if you're honest with him financially, your financial needs, your spiritual needs, absolutely. But I think your emotional needs. I think we would trust him. I think he is the greatest answer to any kind of emotional stress. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your minds, your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The problem of it is, we don't read the verse that precedes that, where it says, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything. But with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let God know your requests. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding. Psalm 37:3. I love this 37th Psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God takes care of our physical needs. Thomas Jefferson said, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of. And by the way, Jefferson was a world traveler, and which no other people on earth enjoy. I had a Filipino pastor come and visit with me one time. I asked him, I said, what is it that impresses you the most about America? He said, the size of your garbage cans. He said, because you throw away what we would use. And the second thing he said, in America, even poor people can have what rich people have. And he was talking about things like automobiles and TV sets and back in the ancient days, the VCRs and things like that. Now, you know, I don't care. You go down into the ghetto, and what do you find? You find them walking around with their cell phones. The $800 cell phones. You ever notice that? Huh? And that's what he noticed, that even the poor have what the rich enjoy in other countries. That's what impressed him about America. The Father has also blessed us with his word. And I think we take this for granted. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Woodrow Wilson said, pretty smart guy. Not only was he president of the United States, but at one time he was president of Princeton University. Fairly prestigious school. The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation. Now, wait a minute. Wilson's only problem was he was a Presbyterian. But he got over that. The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God and the spiritual nature and the need of man. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. Mr. Wilson, would you endorse what I tell the people that they need to read their Bible every day? What do you think Woodrow would say? Woodrow and I are kind of tight. He's just been dead for 60 years. I think Woodrow Wilson would say, absolutely. Up until recently, every member of Congress and the Supreme Court are sworn into office with their hand on the Bible. That's become a controversy, hasn't it? Because some of the Muslim representatives now put their hand on the Quran. In the last few years, there has been a controversy over some members of Congress taking their oath of office with their hand placed on the Quran. Now, I'm going to surprise you here. I'm going to surprise you what I'm going to say. I can read it to you, but I'm just going to tell you what I think. Why should I care what they put their hand on if they don't believe it? Huh? I mean, we have a lot of our people. Our people are sworn to office. They put their hand on the Bible, take their oath on the Bible. They don't even believe the Bible. They don't believe anything about the Bible. So why should I care? Let them put their hand on the Sears Roebuck catalog. Let them put their hand on the Yellow Pages. Let them put their hand on the menu down at the local Chinese restaurant. I don't care if they don't believe it. And frankly, neither should you. You know all this stuff that's going around? It just wants to make us mad. More than anything, it wants to make us mad about Muslims. And I understand terrorism and the Supreme, all of the thing about that. But I also want you to know that there's a lot of Muslims out there. The only thing they want to do is raise their family and do what's best to their family. And by the way, get this one, we're supposed to tell them about Jesus. Muslims. Who's shocked? Well, I can shock you more. I'll just start cussing. But the Bible is more than that. It tells us about God and the way to know Him through His Son, Jesus. It is no accident that the most progressive nations in the world are the ones that have been most exposed to the Word of God. Even those atheistic European nations who have gone their way, and yet they experience all of the affluence, almost to the level that we do, in the beginning of their governments, they were Bible-believing people. What do you think made up this stream of immigrants that came to America from Europe? They came from Holland. They came from England. They came from France. They left those nations, and so many of them. Remember what Patrick Henry said? They left there because their Christian faith was being persecuted, and they came to America, a wilderness that did not have a lot to offer at that point. You read about those who came over. Do you realize that half of the passengers on the Mayflower died in the first year on American soil? They didn't come here to drill oil. They didn't come here to build a plastics factory. By the way, plastics is a very confusing thing. Apparently, the most dangerous thing out there today are plastic bags. Seems to be a lot of controversy about plastic bags. Do you know that? Do you notice that? You know, you get your water in plastic bottles, you take your milk home in plastic cartons, but it's the plastic bags that'll get you. I got up my medication, that's all there is to it. Number two, we are blessed to know the sovereign God. Verse 10 and 11, the Lord brings to counsel the council of the nations to nothing. He makes their plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. You can do whatever you want. Voltaire was a French rationalist atheist, who said that within 150 years of his life, and he lived in the 17th century, within 150 years of his life, Christianity would be unknown and the Bible would be extinct. Do you know that Voltaire's home is now houses a Bible distribution society for France? Yeah, I love it, you know. See, God has a sense of the irony, has a sense of humor. God is in control. Let me put it another way, He's the boss. You can do whatever you want to. Remember Paul on the Damascus Road, and Paul is overwhelmed by the presence of God, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus who you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You know what the goads are? There was a an instrument. I had a guy tell me one time, says, you know what? You're as strong as an ox and almost as smart. And at first I thought that was a compliment. But there's one thing about ox. Hello, are you out there? There's one thing about ox is that they are really stubborn. And if you want them to go the way you want to, you gotta prod them along. And so what they would do, that they would take this piece of wood or this, not a stick, maybe like a board or something like that, and they would put spikes through it and glass and all kinds of things in it. And if that old ox would start turning the wrong way, man, they just jab him with that ox goad. And you know what the ox did? This is why he's so bright. He'd be kicking against it. And guess who was getting hurt? Not the ox goad. It was the ox. That's what we are like. We just kick against God's way. And he is and was and always shall be the boss. We are never out of his sight. And here's the blessing, and we are forever in his care. That's you. You're his child. If you know Jesus as your Savior, that makes God awesome. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. You want to memorize a psalm, memorize this one. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. I'm just misunderstood. I don't understand why the world doesn't understand me. Well, God understands you. He understands everything about you. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You know what that idea is? That means that God's protecting you. You've hedged me behind and before. There it is. And laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God is awesome. That's what he's saying. Number three, we are his people. And of course, I've already mentioned about this phrase. The verse was written referring to Israel as a chosen people and the apple of God's eye, but as New Testament believers and as a part of his church, this verse also applies to us. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Your salvation means something. Maybe you haven't figured it out, but it does. It means when you accept Christ as Savior, it's more than your sins being forgiven. It's more than that. It's so much more than that. Because not only does he forgive your sins, he fits you for heaven. And he makes you a part of his family. Can I get an amen? Amen. Even a little one? Thank you. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, I want you to notice the wording of this as we read it, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. You know what an incorruptible inheritance means? It means you don't lose it. It's talking about your salvation. To an incorruptible inheritance, an undefiled. Doesn't matter what the market's doing, your inheritance never loses value, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I got three things on this verse real quick. That gives us a living hope. Why are you cast down? Why are you all depressed? Why is life such a... I don't think life should be a burden. I've dealt with people. God bless them. I've dealt with people. I had a kid one time. I visited him in the hospital, and he tried to take his life. And he wasn't trying to kill himself. He just wanted some attention. And I didn't have a lot of patience with him because, like, five rooms down the hall was a mother who was dying of cancer, and she wanted to live and couldn't, and he doesn't want to live. I said, straighten up, grow up, don't be a baby. Well, I didn't really want to kill myself. I said, I don't know that. When we ever have an opportunity to choose life or death, what does the Bible say? choose life. Choose life. We have a living hope. Number two, we have an incorruptible inheritance. Everybody's upset about, I don't worry about stock market. I don't own any stock. Why should I worry about stock market? I don't care. I had a preacher friend of mine back in the, when was it, 2008, when they had the great crash? He in preacher's meetings, he says, you know, I don't worry about anything. I got a retirement worth $800,000. He said, my church fires me. I don't care. I got an inheritance worth $800,000. After the 2006 crash, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I lost everything in the stock market. I don't even have $100,000 there. You know what I told him? I said, well, doesn't Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread? The just shall live by faith. One new. We also have a secure salvation. Secure. I'm secure. Man, you have no idea how secure I am. I'm not secure because of who I am. I'm secure because of who I know. Paul says, I know who I believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now here's the sad alternative. Here's another psalm. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. This actually refers to a future event known as the judgment of the nations that will happen at the end of the tribulation. And the basis for the judgment will be how these nations have treated Israel. You read Matthew chapter 25, I think it begins at verse 31 on down to the end of the chapter. And it talks about how, you know, I was in prison, you visited me, I was hungry, you fed me, I was naked, you clothed me, so forth, so on. That's talking about how the nations treated Israel. And it says, these wicked nations shall be turned into hell. There is a more lethal virus in America than secularism and atheism. It is even more potent and noxious than hedonism. It is selfishness. That's what Satan's done to us. He's made us selfish. It's my time. It's my things. It's my life. And yet the Bible said you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. I'll just throw that in there. There are three types of Christianity in America today. We've talked about this. There's generic Christianity, identifies as a Christian because they are neither Muslim or Buddhist or atheist, so all that's left is Christian. There is secular Christianity, identified by worldliness and carnality because they added Christ without subtracting sin. Fastest growing type of Christianity in America today, right there it is. And then there's biblical Christianity, educated or dedicated to living life God's way and seeking to become conformed to the image of Christ. And the only way you ever know how to do that is through the reading of God's Word. To be a true Christian is to know Christ personally and to live like Him. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I'm almost done. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Do you understand that the Christian philosophy, the true Christian philosophy, is contrary to the world's philosophy? Because the world's philosophy says, basically, I'm going to boil it down to just one statement. Basically, the world's philosophy is get all you can. While you're here. Get all you can while you're here. I want more, 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 more. That's what I want. More, 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 more. Doesn't matter that I don't need it. I want it. That's what I want. Give me a bigger TV. Give me a bigger car. Give me a bigger house. Give me more money. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And there are Christians, I believe, that actually pray that to God, thinking He's Santa Claus, and He's not. I better not go make my next statement because some of you may not really know the truth about this. So I won't go on and tell you there is no Santa Claus. I'll just move on. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And here's where I finish. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Now that takes care of your eternal life and your physical life. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in You. Now, here's what I think. I think if you can read those statements and it not be a real, emotional, stirring blessing to your soul? I think you need to back up and evaluate some things. Because when it says, blessed is the nation, and he was referring to Israel, but if we are to be a blessed nation, we have to be blessed as individuals. Not to just have an acquaintance with God, but to allow him to be our Lord, to know him personally, to allow him to invade every area of our life, and to seek his will beyond our wants.